always seems to me that as we come on the second Sunday in September, first Sunday is usually Labor Day weekend, and so it feels like this is a time of new beginnings, a time when school is in session, and many of you have been on vacation, and it is an occasion to come back and be together as God's people. We begin a new season of all kinds of activities going on in this church, and I'm grateful for that. It seems fitting that we would then talk about how it is we may be equipped. We've got young people going to school. We've got new beginnings in all kinds of ways. But this morning, our focus is on equipment for healthy disciples. And this is a challenging passage. And I offer my insight, take it with a grain of salt, and consider what the Lord is saying to us about how we are equipped as God's people. Hear the word of God found in Luke chapter 14. I begin reading at verse 25. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." They're walking along, and he's saying this. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the word of the Lord. It would be unthinkable for a soldier to go into the field anywhere in the world without the right kind of equipment. It would be unthinkable for a soldier to face an uncertain mission without the right kind of weapon, the right clothes, the appropriate shoes, a helmet, body armor, foodstuffs, and a first aid kit of some kind. And I dare say, most of us here, when we go out in the morning, whether we're retired or not, have certain equipment. Most of us probably have some form of communication in the form of a cell phone. That's equipment that we need to make it through the day. We have some means of paying people, whether we carry a money clip with cash or have a bank card. We have some means of paying for things when we go out beyond the boundaries of where we live. Usually we have some means of transportation, whether we get on the bus and go into Charlotte or whether we have a car. Those are critical things that equip us for a day as human beings. And it would not be right for us to go without certain things that make possible our living in this world. Well, this morning, our reading in Luke focuses on the right kind of equipment for healthy disciples. Now, of course, there are all kinds of disciples these days. There are many who are poorly prepared to face life as believers. There are many who do not have what they need to survive the challenges of the office or the street corner or the workshop as Christians. And it occurs to me that churches are influenced by the sum total of their believers. If believers of churches are ill-prepared, the church is unable to carry out its mission. And so in our reading, Jesus is saying some pretty difficult things about life as we know it. And yet, I believe he has something for us. How you and I handle his instructions is another matter. But what we do with Jesus' words affect our experience of what we call abundant life here at Meadow Lake Church. There are all kinds of ways to be equipped. What Jesus says here significantly affects how we serve God and carry out his ministry as a congregation. Well, this morning, Jesus wants us equipped with freedom. He wants us equipped with devotion, and he wants us equipped with planning and reflection. That is to say, he wants us to free us from the culture of our families, our former families. He wants to recall our commitment to his service, and he wants to allow us time to think about being his followers. So freedom, devotion, and planning and reflection. Now please think briefly with me about these words and consider this interpretation. It's mine only, and you have to decide whether this makes sense enough for you. First of all, Jesus wants to give us the freedom to consider a new way of life in him. I cited in the assurance of pardon, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Jesus wants us to have the ability to be part of this new creation. And Jesus is up against one of the strongest family cultures in the history of the world. The Jewish family. Jews have been around for thousands of years, and their traditions and their sense of family is powerful. If you've ever seen a stage production of Fiddler on the Roof or even seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. The story of Fiddler on the Roof is about a Jewish family in Russia in the early 20th century who are experiencing all kinds of changes in their world at the time of the Russian Revolution. And one family's three daughters all want to marry different kinds of young men, and each different than what their mama and papa want. You ever heard of that before? That's not a new story. And particularly is this powerful of family, this family recognizable in the words and the emotions of a song that they sing during the Sabbath day beginning meal. Every time I hear it, tears come to my eyes because as a father, this is my prayer for my children. The father sings these words, "May the Lord protect and defend you. May he always shield you from shame. May you come to be in Israel a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen them, O Lord, and keep them from the stranger's ways." It's into this influence that Jesus tells his followers walking with him, "Whoever comes to me," he's not saying this for everybody, "whoever comes to me," to Jesus, "and does not hate father and mother and all the rest cannot be my disciple." I'm sure that raised some interesting conversations as they're walking along. He's not telling children to have a violent attitude toward their parents. He's not offering them animus, it would occur to me. He's not teaching his followers to embrace violence towards his family. He's using a certain kind of Middle Eastern hyperbole, an overstatement, if you will, to teach them how to become faithful. Because unless Jesus' followers distance themselves from a family culture, there's no room to consider Jesus' call to a new way of life. To consider his truth. Truth be told, if we have loving mothers and fathers in our past, and you do, there are tapes in our head about the way things must be done, the way life must be lived, the way one must do Sunday dinner, the way one must rear children. Try changing your family's practice at Christmas time, and you may get, "We've always done it this way. It's the way our family's always done it before, and we're not going to change now." That's what Jesus was up against. And that's what we're all up against, it would occur to me. I remember there was a woman who was the mother of the bride in a wedding ceremony I did in Richmond. And it was interesting. She wanted the groomsmen to take the earrings out of their ears. We don't do that in weddings. Young man, please take that out of your ear. So I'm standing there as they're... And then they left. And she said to me, Pastor, I want to confess something to you. My husband and I don't go to church because I've been looking for the church of my youth, the church that my mother and father brought me up in, and I've not found it. I don't think it's anywhere. And I said to her, dear, I called her name, the church of Jesus Christ is there. It may not look or smell or seem like the one that you grew up in. And it may not seem at all like the one your mother and father raised you in, but there are people who love Jesus, who hear his word, who worship him, and go out into the world on a regular basis to try to do his mission in the world. It is there, but you have to be open to it. That's the kind of resistance that Jesus is talking about. We all need freedom from the culture of our families to consider a new family, to consider the Meadow Lake family and the life that we are giving here. So first of all, the first piece of equipment for healthy disciples is freedom from inappropriate family influences. There have been many good ones, but inappropriate family influences, the freedom to consider God's new direction. Secondly, Jesus wants to remind us of our devotion to use the gifts we've been given. He's claimed us all. He loves us all, and he seeks to guide us in the ministry of our lives. He means for us to carry the cross God has given us. And with this cross, we are called to be instructed by Jesus as we go. Our cross, whatever that is, however we use our gifts, is not a simple vocation, simple ministry project. Jesus wants to be in conversation with us about that. Some days we do very well with our mission ministry projects, and some days it's awful. And we need to be in conversation with our Lord about grace and strength and energy to do what he's asking us to do. I think many of you here at Meadow Lake are already engaged in ministries, and you understand the need for Jesus as mentor and coach and instructor to direct your service on behalf of him. On the wall at the YMCA in Charlotte, where I exercise from time to time, there's written in a room with weights and workout machines, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Even in a place as secular as a weight and exercise machine room in Charlotte, the leaders of the Y have Jesus' words about service for people to read and consider. And if Jesus was committed to service, so should you and I. So should all of us be devoted to the use of our gifts in some way that is for the good of the church and the world. That's what I believe our cross is. Jesus is asking of us devotion, a devotion to serve the church and the world using our gifts, to pick up our cross in this way. And so not only is freedom from our culture important, but so is devotion to the ministry God has given us. But finally, Jesus uses two illustrations to communicate one idea. And obviously this is pretty significant for Jesus, or he wouldn't have added two of them. Planning and reflection. What businesswoman goes and starts a business without estimating the cost to see if she has enough of what it takes to get her business started? What builder starts a tower without estimating the cost to see if there's enough planning and energy and capital to build a tower? What general engages an enemy in battle without estimating the cost of winning? Too often, people join a church without ever considering what is involved with being a follower of Jesus with these people. It is important for every church to help its new members as well as its older ones to be planners and people of reflection, to think about the life that is there. We were at an officer's retreat, and Henry Lee Cook was, we were talking about the kind of churches that are all around us. And Henry Lee made a very wise observation that many people just want to go to church, go to the big church, and be done with it. Just go to the church and experience worship in all its glory, and then just leave. Let's just go do church and then go home. and it's just do church there and then be done with it. Some people think about it this way, and yet Jesus is saying, he's begging, he's teaching, he's instructing, he's saying, unless you hate your mother and father, unless you're devoted to picking up your cross and sharing it with your Lord, unless you plan and reflect on what your life of faith is about, you cannot be my disciple. He says that. Did you hear this last line in our reading? It didn't even make one of my 3 points, but it obviously got my attention. It has had an influence in Christian history. None of you can be my disciples unless you give up all your possessions. Now, you need to understand the context for me. Georgia and I have been moving the last 2.5 weeks, and I'm up to here with my possessions. I have possessions up to the ceiling in my garage. I'm ready to burn them all down. Possessions weigh us down. Possessions require attention. Possessions demand maintenance. So let me ask, do you and I have homes to separate ourselves from the whole world, or can our homes be used to the glory of God? Do we have furniture so we can become couch potatoes and just escape, or can we use our furniture to the glory of God? Do we have games and toys and hobbies so that we can occupy our time, or can they be used to the glory of God? Do we have clothes that can be used only to impress others, or can our clothes be used to the glory of God? You see where we're going with this. There are Christian movements that have required their members to be done with all their possessions. And so the monastic movement became an important part of, some would argue, an important part of Christendom since the third century. But this morning, Jesus has wisdom for us. He speaks to us about equipment for being healthy disciples. I suspect that there are many unhealthy churches around because of unhealthy discipleship. And Jesus speaks to us about the freedom to consider a new way of life, the space, and to consider that maybe the families of origin from which we come need to be set aside, and we need to think of new traditions and new ways to listen to what Jesus is teaching us. Jesus speaks about our devotion to using our gifts to bless others. That's what that wall of gifts was all about. Those are our crosses. And as a church, we are picking up those crosses and following Jesus with them. Jesus is speaking to us about reflection on what it means, planning and reflection, what it means to follow Christ in this world. These are essential pieces of equipment for our life as disciples to be healthy in this church and through it. May God use what we are hearing of Jesus' words to make our life truly abundant in His name. Let us pray.